Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
I want to welcome you all to our on-air and online Watoto Church service today. Thank you for joining us. I know you are already being blessed by the service. Well, we are in a series entitled The Supremacy of God's Word. Powerful series. And just as a reminder, last week we talked about the fact that God's Word is sufficient. And it's sufficient enough for us to know everything about who God is. It's sufficient for us to know truth, because there's a lot of people who are trying to create their own truth. But also God's Word is sufficient for us to know the meaning of life. And God's Word is sufficient for us to know man's destiny. We don't have to live guessing about our destiny and our eternity. It's all there in God's Word. Now we want to continue the series. And I want to encourage you right now to open your Bibles to one of the very simplest books in the Bible, and that is the book of Genesis. It's the very first book in the Bible, and it's so easy to find. And we want to read the first three verses right there. Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Take a moment and picture that in your head. The earth without form, very empty, dark. That's what it was like. Formless and dark. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And verse 3, something begins to change the story. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, that phrase, and God said, appears about 10 times in this very first chapter of the Bible. Because listen, my friends, when God speaks, when God says, get ready, something powerful is about to happen. Light, boom. And whenever God speaks, get ready, because he's about to unveil a powerful life principle. So you get ready to listen, because God's word is supreme. You know what, my friends? God's word today is as powerful as God's word in the book of beginnings in Genesis. When he speaks, his word has power. So today, I want to talk about the transformative power of God's word. Wow. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. Your word is powerful. And man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so today, I pray, speak to us concerning the supremacy of your word and its transformative power in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The transformative power of God's word. What do I mean by this transformative power of God's word? It means that God's word has the power to make and produce an undeniable, visible, and remarkable long-lasting change compared to any other words or any other literature. And the kind of change that God's word brings to us is not cosmetic. It's a change from the inside out. This is not like putting on makeup when you read God's word. This is about a complete makeover when you read and get into God's word. Friends, we hear so many words today from the news, from what we read. We read a number of books. Man, I can't forget in school, high school, how we had to do about 13 subjects, and you had to read various books, history and physics and chemistry and all kinds of books. But I've never had someone come to me and say, you know what, Julius, I read this physics book from cover to cover and it has changed my life. Never had. I've never had someone come and say, man, this chapter in chemistry has changed my life. In fact, for many people, it scares our lives because we're going to be tested and examined after that. I've never had anybody say that. I've never had anybody come to me and say, today I read the newspaper and it changed my life. Never. You know what? Physics books and biology books can give us education. Newspapers may give us information, but only the Word of God has the transformative power within it to bring change in our lives. That's the power of God's Word. And the reason God's Word has transformative power is twofold. One, it is Spirit-inspired, and we've seen this over the last number of weeks. But also, God's Word is Spirit-empowered. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 to 17. We've been reading this literally every week. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired by God. That's why it has transformational power in it, transformative power. But also, God's Word is Spirit-empowered. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, and I'm going to read it, but let me give you context. The city of Corinth was full of so many philosophers, people who came up with ideologies on how life works. And so it was a city of knowledge. That's what it was. And people would stand and begin to interpret what life is like. And they came up with their own philosophies, ideologies. And then Paul comes and he preaches God's Word. And it was being mixed up with some of these ideologies, thinking, oh, this is another way of looking at life. No, 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 my friends. God's Word is Spirit-inspired, but is also Spirit-empowered to transform lives. And here's what Paul says in verses 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. He wasn't creating some words and trying to persuade people. He says, no, but it was with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Spirit empowered, so that your faith and your life might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is not human wisdom, my friends. This is the Word of God, and it has transformative power within it that changes lives. So I want to address two aspects today when it comes to the transformative power of God's Word. And the first is this: God's Word has the power to transform individuals. But the second one is this as well. God's Word has the power to transform culture. Let's start with the first one, individuals. I found a number of people who take God's Word casually. They take it lightly. My friends, God's Word wasn't given to impress us. This Word was given to influence us and change us and transform us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this: for the Word of God is alive and active. It's a living Word, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is deep, it's living, and it has transformative power in it that penetrates the very deep core of individuals. How does God's Word transform individuals? It starts with our hearts. It deals with heart issues. Jeremiah says that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and all human attempts to try and tame the heart of man have failed. You can take people to jail, but it doesn't change their hearts. You can take them through rehab. It will not change their hearts and their lives. It will do something for a season. I met a young man who went through rehab, and he was telling me his life is now back on track. And I asked him, when you were going through rehab, did they do anything to teach you the Word of God? And you know what he said? He actually said, when we go through the entire process, we are told the only way to sustain the change is by living by the word of God. They acknowledge it, that you can do things from the outside, but only the word of God deals with the heart of man, with the sin in man's heart. Only God's word, my friend, has the capacity to perform supernatural surgery into the hearts of men and gouge out the sinfulness in man's heart. The word of God. The heart is very important. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And the only way that heart can be protected and guarded is by the word of God. No wonder in Psalm 119, David emphasizes, it's a great chapter, get to read it in one sitting. David says, how can a young man live a pure life? By living according to God's word. Continues to say, I've hidden this word in my heart so that I may not sin against God. Because this word deals with the heart, transforms our hearts, has the power to do that. But also, we see from the writer in Hebrews, he says, this word judges the thoughts. It deals with our minds. The word of God, my friends, deals with the way we think. And as a man thinks, so he is. Every day we are bombarded with all kinds of thoughts on a daily basis. And sometimes many of these thoughts are negative and they hurt us. How do we refocus our thinking? How do we realign our mindset? It is by the word of God. Read God's word, not newspapers, not these other things, and expect to find some sense of mind renewal. In fact, Romans chapter 12 says that the only way we can transform our lives is by having a renewal of our minds. And how do we do that? Through God's word. Paul says the kind of thoughts we need are the thoughts that are noble, thoughts that are righteous, pure, excellent, praiseworthy. Where can you get such thoughts? It's from God's word. God's word has the power to transform minds, my friends. It has the power. Are you struggling with mindset issues, thoughts in your life, negative thinking, defeatist thinking? Get into God's word. It will begin to shape your thinking, my friend. But also God's word not only transforms our thinking, it also transforms our emotions, our soul. That scripture we just read, it says it's so powerful, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. It deals with emotional issues, this word of God. We go through life and we will have all kinds of emotions, and we get discouraged, we will get anxious, we get fearful. Where do we turn to get encouragement? Last year, this same time last year, was a very difficult season for our country. I can remember as Watoto, we were going through a fairly turbulent season. Man, would I get discouraged at times? Would I get anxious at some moments and even fearful? But you know what I did? I ran to God's word because it's the sure anchor for my soul. Let me tell you, my friends, the number one bestseller when it comes to encouragement is the word of God, my friends. You turn to it and you will be encouraged when God speaks to us. God's word has transformative power. David said, my soul, why are you so downcast? Put your hope in God. How do you do that? Reading God's word. Psalm 19 and verse 7 to 8 says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And the precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. When you get into God's word, it will transform your emotional life and your soul forever. It's the number one source of encouragement. The other one Paul talks about is bone and marrow. It can affect our physical bodies. Psalm 107 and verse 20 says this, he sent out his word and healed them and he rescued them from the grave. The word of God has healing power within it, my friends. If you're sick in your body, stick to the promises of God. God promises to heal. He sent his word and healed disease. In Matthew chapter 8, we see a great story of a Roman soldier who had a sick servant at home. And he came looking out for Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, my servant is so sick. And I know you alone can heal him. Please." And then Jesus said, "I'm going to come to your house." But this Roman soldier said, no, Jesus, you don't have to come to the house. You just need to speak your word and my servant will be well. That soldier knew the power of words. And he knew that if Jesus spoke, that was enough. And Jesus said, "Man, I haven't seen faith like this. Go home. Your servant is well." Because listen, he sends his word and it will heal us, my friends. We got to trust this word to bring healing and transform our individual lives. So God's word has the power to transform our individual lives. But secondly, God's word has the power to transform culture. Every society, every people group has a culture. And culture, broadly speaking, is the way of life of a particular group of people, whether it's a tribe, whether it's an organization, or even nations. And every culture has unique things that we need to celebrate. The food, the dress, the music and dance. Those things we celebrate. But every culture has ungodly things in it. And these ungodly things we must reject. Because not only will they hurt our individual lives, they will hurt society. Some of those cultural things, I'll mention some in our context here. Timekeeping is one of them. Oh boy, how people have gotten used to not keeping time and we think it's normal. No, it's disrespect. Telling lies has become acceptable. Immorality, polygamy, and sex for favors, whether it's marks or promotion, pornography. And we get this deception that if you're over 18, you can watch pornography. Those are all lies. Greed, whether it's for power or for money, and keeps people hanging on to these things and doing all wicked things to gain power or money. Lawlessness, oh my goodness. We are seeing this not just in Uganda, but all over the world. People are beginning to do the unthinkable. And we ask ourselves, why? They've thrown out the word of God. You throw out the word of God, society will come apart. And that's what we are beginning to see. You see, at the core of culture is a belief system. And if we are to change culture, we must address the belief system. And so how do we do that? How do you address the belief system? We need to understand this. Every belief system is pegged on one of two things: truth or lies. No in between. Truth or lies. And the Bible says Satan is the father of all lies. And Satan's agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. The moment we embrace the lies of Satan with secularism that says take God out, we get ready for destruction. Those are the lies that are driving the belief systems in governments, in organizations. Lies. Lies, lies. Satan's agenda is going to steal your future. It's to kill, destroy. This is how culture transformation starts. Reject the lies, but don't just reject them. Embrace the truth. Then you'll begin to see the transformative power of the word of God. Where do we find truth? Jesus said, John chapter 8 and verses 31 to 32, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Will set you free from these lies of Satan, my friends. And the truth is found in the word of God. When we abide in it, we will know the truth. No wonder when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, he gave us this great assignment to go and preach the good news and get people saved. But he also said, we got to do one more thing. Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Because the teaching of God's word brings truth, and that truth will confront the lies that are in society and begin to change culture and begin to introduce kingdom culture. Acts chapter 19 tells a story of how Paul went to a city of Ephesus that was infested with witchcraft, and he preached the word of God for 2 years daily. He declared the word of God and transformation began to happen. In verse 18 of Acts 19, it says, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, changed their way of life. And a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books. They had other books they were following that couldn't help them, and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books, listen, was several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Why? Because this word of God has the transformative power to change culture. When we embrace this word of God, we embrace kingdom culture, and the result is blessing. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is a family whose God is the Lord. Blessed is a tribe whose God is the Lord. Blessed is a company, organization, school, government agency whose God is the Lord. God's word is undeniably powerful. That's why it is supreme, my friends. It has the power to transform individuals and society. But here's my concluding thoughts. How can we unlock the transformative power of God's word? Here are two keys. Number one, faith. We must believe God's word. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 actually says this. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? They did not mix it with faith. We must mix this word with faith. We must believe it, and then it will be profitable. It will bring transformation in our lives and society. But secondly, second key is obedience. Obedience will unlock the transformative power of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 to 2 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, his word, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will begin to do something. He will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, he begins to list them below there, shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. When we obey God's word, God begins to honor his word in our lives. We begin to experience the supernatural power of God's word, because God's word will never return to him void, my friends. So what am I saying today? The word of God is supreme. Because of its transformative power, it will transform individuals' lives, it will transform culture, and eventually society. And to unlock the transformative power of God's word, we must mix it with faith, but we also must put our faith to action in obedience. And then we will experience an abundant life based on the word of God, totally transformed. A fruitful life. Let me ask you, are you experiencing that kind of life? If you're not, get into God's word and let God's word get into your life. It will change your life. Maybe you are not born again. You do not know Jesus. Today the Bible says, actually, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Soften your heart. Because now is the time for salvation. And I'm speaking to you right now. You need to get born again. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Today I've heard your word and I'm convicted. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive me, Lord, of my sin. Make me a child of God. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you are now a child of God. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. Hey, we want to help you in whatever way we can. So please write to us, connect@watotochurch.com, or you can text any of the numbers on the screen and someone will get in touch with you. Welcome to the most fantastic family. And for the rest of us, man, let's live by the word of God. It has transformative power that will forever change our lives. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.